right. Happy Friday. End of the week. Going to wrap up our time in Acts with chapters 8 through 10 and 12 through 15.
Yeah, so this is a lot of fun. I think as we talk about, because like yesterday we talked about how the church was birthed. Remember what Jesus said right before the ascension was, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So far, when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, we see that they've been his witnesses, and in a good way, in Jerusalem. But they haven't really spread from Jerusalem yet. Everybody that became a Christian kind of stuck around. Well, of course they stuck around. That's where the apostles were. That's where the teaching was. They wanted to learn more. But it seems like God is kind of ready for them to scatter. And he is going to use the persecution that happens in the church to cause the disciples to scatter, basically to the ends of the earth. And they're going to start to spread the gospel in this way. We see in chapter 8 that he's going to use a man who actually we're going to know as, or in chapter 7 we read he uses Paul. His name is Saul then. He becomes Paul later on. Mm-hmm. We actually didn't read about that today, but he becomes Paul. But he actually has somebody killed for their faith. And once that happens, once the first Christian is martyred for their faith, it kind of opens the floodgates. And so the Christians scatter. The church is persecuted. Like all the Jews, they start throwing Christians in jail and threatening them and telling them that they don't recant their faith, bad things are going to happen. And so the church scatters. We read a great persecution broke out and everybody except the apostles. And it seems like maybe the apostles had enough authority that people stayed away from them. Like the Jews maybe stayed away from them. But everybody else scatters. They leave the church and they go to different places. And the one we read about specifically is Philip. Philip goes to Samaria and he preaches the gospel. And people are saved. And we read this interesting story about Simon, a sorcerer. And here's what I want to tell you. He's a real sorcerer, right? He's really doing things that, you know, we're like, wait, magic isn't real. No, but witchcraft is, right? And evil is. And so he really has power. It's demonic power. And we see this weird thing where he wants to become a Christian, but he's not really wanting to become a Christian because of Jesus. He's wanting to become a Christian because of the power that he sees. And basically, Philip confronts him and corrects him. Peter and John confront him and correct him and tell him he needs to repent. And so, of course, Simon says, pray to the Lord so that these things won't happen to me. But we see that the gospel is starting to spread. Philip, and we see how God does some cool things here. Philip is just, he's just going on the road and God's like, hey, go walk over there by that chariot. Mm-hmm. So he goes
to
walk over by the chariot and it's this eunuch from Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And he happens to be reading from Isaiah. And Philip is like, oh, okay, this is a God moment. So here's what he does. He says, hey, by the way, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy's like, no, how can I understand it if nobody explains? And Philip's like, well, let me tell you. And he just, using Isaiah as a springboard, Old Testament again, he just shares the gospel.
Yeah.
The Ethiopian eunuch, who actually is high up in the court, he responds to the gospel. He's like, look, there's water. Let's go get baptized. Mm-hmm. He's baptized. And it's this awesome experience.
I think it's important to note too, though, that eunuchs weren't allowed to enter the assembly. And so here we see someone that was excluded being included into the gospel. And we're going to continue to see that.
Oh, yeah, right? Well, already just the fact that he's not Jewish, you know? So we've got somebody that's Jewish, also somebody that's been physically in what the Old Testament would call a deformity, right? That these are ceremonially unclean, but God's saying, no, I want them.
Yep. And then they're part of me. The passage that the eunuch is reading is the entire passage specifically mentions God, including the excluded. So
yes.
It's a really cool.
It is, right? Yeah. Like, and we would look at that and be like, oh, what a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
Or we could be like, what a cool God that is orchestrating all things together. Mm-hmm. And then we see Saul, the guy that was the one responsible for killing you know, killing the Christians.
Yep, and was there at Stephen's stoning.
Yep. And he's the one that wants to throw all these people in jail. God just kind of smacks him to the ground.
Yeah.
And we get in chapter nine, we get this story of his conversion and what that is. Mm-hmm. And he just comes to faith. And you know what? God doesn't pull punches with him. I love this. He's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to show him how much he will suffer for my name. And so Paul knows going into his life in ministry what it is absolutely going to cost him. And his response to that, okay, I've seen the risen Christ. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do besides give my entire life to him? Mm-hmm. So, and then he starts. He goes to Damascus and in Jerusalem. At first, they don't really trust him, but he has some of the other believers kind of back him up and say, no, he's a changed man. Then I love this. They meet a lady named Dorcas, mm-hmm. Or Tabitha, but I like Dorcas.
Yeah, Dorcas.
They kind of help him and Peter, and we read about Peter in Joppa, and God just continues to say, like, no, we're going to start to accept things that used to be excluded are now in, like, mm-hmm. Peter's in Joppa, and
he has that pigs in a blanket dream.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah, like God orchestrates a dream for him and a vision mm-hmm. for Cornelius, who is not a Jew, and he tells Peter, basically, everything is clean. There is no more unclean.
Yay, bacon!
Yeah. But it's not even just that. By telling him everything is clean to eat, he's also saying everything yeah. is clean to me.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then, because that's the vision he had when Cornelius sends the messenger that says, hey, come to my house. And listen, if you were following ceremonial law, you couldn't go into the house of a non-Jewish person. Mm-hmm. That would make you ceremonially mm-hmm. unclean.
Yeah.
But Peter says,
with a tanner, yeah. would be dead stuff.
Yeah. Peter says, I mm-hmm. get it. So he goes and he shares the gospel and they respond to the gospel. And I love this. This is a great thing in chapter 10 about mm-hmm. how God will orchestrate. Listen, the question of what about people that die without ever hearing the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Will God really send people to hell that have died without ever hearing the gospel? Listen to me. Anybody whose heart genuinely is ready to hear the gospel, God will make sure they have it, whether it's through missionaries,
yeah.
whether it's through dreams and visions, which we hear about those things and we believe those things. Mm-hmm. No matter how it is, Cornelius and his family are a perfect example. Mm-hmm. They were wanting and desiring to know God fully. God orchestrated it so that they could. And he will do that today for people as well. And then we get to chapter 12. And this same Peter is in prison. And not just in prison like he got arrested, but in prison like Herod wants to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened is Herod killed James, the disciple. And everybody loved him for it. They thought it was awesome. So he's like, oh, here's what I'll do. I'll parade Peter out and kill him too. And then people will really like me. And so Peter's in jail waiting his execution. All of the disciples are gathered together in a home praying for Peter to be delivered. And an angel of the Lord comes and basically frees Peter. Peter's free from jail. He walks through the gate, walks past the guards, and he goes to the house where all the disciples are. I love this story. He goes to the house where all the disciples are, and he knocks on the door. The servant girl, Rhoda, is so excited that Peter's at the door, she doesn't answer it.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't open it for him, and she goes to tell the disciples that are praying earnestly for Peter to be released from jail. She says, Peter's released from jail. You know what their response is? No, he's not. You're crazy. And when she says, no, no, it really was him, they're like, oh, maybe it's his ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally they're like, well, maybe we should go check. Right? Like they're praying so earnestly for Peter to be delivered, but it's almost like they didn't really believe that it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he is. And then Herod, who wanted to kill Peter, then he dies. And so Peter is able to flee. And then in chapter 13, we read that Paul and Barnabas are commissioned and they're mm-hmm. set apart and they're set on this first missionary
yep.
journey.
Yep.
And this is where the church now really starts to spread. They go mm-hmm. to places where the gospel isn't. They preach the gospel until people believe it. And then they establish churches And then they move on to the next church. And actually, in subsequent missionary journeys, they're going to go back to those churches, mm-hmm. strengthen them. A lot of the letters we read in the Old Testament, like all of these epistles, like Ephesians, Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, all of those are letters written to the churches they established. So they establish a church and they move on, mm-hmm. but they don't want to leave that church alone. So they write letters of encouragement yep. and correction. Yeah. And so we get this great thing. So it's all good. We just love the way the church spreads through Acts and the way the Holy Spirit continues to work as they do.
Mm-hmm. It's also cool to see, depending on who they're addressing, how they change their formula for sharing the gospel. Like if it's Jews, a lot of times they're going back to the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and really hammering that in to be like, look, we know this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of change it a little bit for the Gentiles. And so I always think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I love the fact like, yeah, you're right. Like at one point they're somewhere and they're like, man, he's like, man, you guys are really religious. You've got all of these shrines to all of these different gods. And you've got this one shrine to an unknown God. Well, I know him and he's better than all of the other gods. And he just uses that as his platform to share the gospel. Like in Athens, Paul just is so skilled and he says, I become all things to all people, so that, you know, I can win some, mm-hmm. Basically Paul gives up his rights so that he can just meet people's needs where they're at. And I love that. Like he's like, I used to kill Christians. Now I'm so desperate to make them mm-hmm. that I'll do whatever it takes.
Beautiful, beautiful.